Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN here on a Tuesday morning, and it's the first Tuesday of the month. We are joined by Manhattan City Commission guests. We have City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy joining us via telephone here. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you on again. First meeting of the month of April here, and some changes have been made, as we mentioned last week, to the meeting structure, and we've made our changes here also on In Focus. And by the way, we do have it set up now to where if we do get any calls here, if you've got a question for Yusha Reddy or Mayor, City Manager Ron Fear, you can certainly give us a call, 785-537-1350, and they will answer those questions to the best of their ability. As mentioned, changes here, and there's changes to how the meeting structure is going right now. Those are being held via Zoom, and that's going to continue at least for a little while, as I understand.
Yeah, that's right, Brandon. So we have altered the way that we're performing that. We are asking folks to provide comments on specific agenda items, as well as public comments in writing prior to the meeting. And then actually those are being made available to the commissioners real time whenever they come in. We usually publish the agenda Thursday night or Friday morning prior to the Tuesday meeting. And so comments can start on those anytime. We've created a banner button on our webpage to be able to do that, or folks can call our city clerk's office with a question if they don't have access to that, to internet or a web-based system. So it is a different system, but hopefully we'll work our ways through it, and it seems to be working fairly well, as good as can be expected. Obviously, we had a little practice run last week, and so we're hopeful we'll won't have to continue this too much longer. But we're prepared to, if need be.
All right, Yusha, any comments to how that's working?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think this is the best we can do. Even when we had our regular meetings in City Hall, you rarely had people coming in for their public comments at the beginning of a meeting on the first Tuesdays, and then they usually spoke after the consent agenda and each of the general agenda items. So we're going to try to stick to that as much as possible, except now the deadline is, I think, 4 or 5 o'clock Tuesday. So by this afternoon, about 5 o'clock, we will take comments. And they can email even the city commissioners or the city offices that Ron just mentioned. And the ones that are pertinent to the general agenda item or consent agenda item, chances are we'll read out loud. But, you know, we don't usually get an influx, but we're trying to keep it still as transparent and open as possible to the public. And we're also trying to keep our agenda so much that we are reducing our meetings, but also have it such that not have too many controversial items or items that require a lot of public input. Keep those off as long as possible, because we understand families are stressed right now, and the last thing on their mind is a city commission meeting. So,
that said, have you seen an increase of participation among people tuning in to these meetings?
I think maybe Vivian needs to answer that, but I think there has been an increase to the city commission meetings, as well as all of the meetings that I've been on. The Riley County Health Department has huge viewership. The other piece to having this, we've always had it, not always, but for quite a while, we've had Facebook Live and streaming it, live streaming it. And people often go back to it. Even after we're done with the meeting, I've seen people go back to a meeting and revisit. So whether it's there, it's good to know that people are watching it on their own time, too.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting shift here. We're seeing a lot of local governments, school boards. You mentioned the health department. They're doing daily updates. They are. But it kind of shows you that, you know, there's a lot of engagement that can be happening and really embracing technology.
Yes, I agree.
Well, as far as the current situation here with COVID-19, we are seeing our cases go up slightly. in the Manhattan area. I think we're up to 14 in Riley County, 4 in Pottawatomie County. The message still the same here from the city as far as maintaining social distancing and the stay-at-home order?
Yeah, I'm going to have Ron speak to this a little bit more, but he is on the Emergency Operations Command Center group. But as far as a city official and my perspective on this, absolutely, social distancing is still top priorities, number one, two, and three. And I'm glad they put out the face mask piece, but it isn't about you, but it's so that when you are talking to somebody, it doesn't get on somebody else. And it also stops us from touching our face as much as we usually do. So I think there are benefits to that. But again, we need to still be extremely cautious. And, you know, I'm really proud of Manhattan. I think a lot of people are really following all the policies and guidelines that have been set forth by CDC, KDHE, as well as the Riley County Health Department. And we have a great medical clinical task force. I like hearing Bob Koppel and other physicians on the radio in the morning, as well as Julie Gibbs in the afternoons. So I think it's been a huge collaborative effort. I think the best thing that's been the onset of this is K-State and President Meyer leadership telling students not to come back. I think that was a huge catalyst for us as we move forward on this. And we want to have still low numbers, so I still want people to adhere to what they're doing right now and just do maybe more of it. And I like to see that the grocery stores and everybody else is also taking precautions about letting a few people in at a time, putting up shields for their own staff when they're checking people out, and taking all the measures they need to take during this pandemic. But I think we are doing everything we can, and we will continue to be doing everything we can to keep our community safe.
Yeah, I would just add that obviously, you know, we released Sunday that we had some verified community spread that was occurring. Previously, most of the cases had been associated with individuals that had traveled out of the area and that had self-isolated. And the one Sunday, then we weren't able to trace it to be related to any travel. So. Not totally sure where they picked it up in the community, but once that started, the chances of others getting it has just increased significantly. So as the mayor said, people really need to continue to think even more so about being very preventative. So, you know, send one person to the store if they have to. Better yet, call that order into the store, let them bring it out to you or deliver it. All of those things will help. If you tune in, and I encourage folks to do that, to the Governor and Secretary Norman's daily updates at 2 p.m., what you've heard lately is that we don't really anticipate the state of Kansas to peak till the end of the month, so the end of April roughly. And in Manhattan, I think because we've had done a decent job of trying to spread that, flatten that line out, we tend to be running a little bit behind where the state is. So could be another couple weeks after that for us to maybe see our peak, and hopefully we won't get a surge that puts a lot of undue pressure on our hospital. One of the things that Secretary Norman said yesterday was that they are following closely about 11 clusters of outbreaks in the state, primarily in 5 counties. Those were in Johnson, Leavenworth, and Wyandotte, as well as Sedgwick and McPherson County. So, it just goes to show where you had some kind of activity where there was a group of folks together and they don't know it, that they had symptoms. And that's what's been the big factor with this virus, is it can spread before people even have symptoms. So it's important for people to just really practice excellent hygiene, and that safe distancing will be with us for quite a while. So this process. Our facilities are closed officially through the 19th, but I'm quite sure we'll be continuing and extending those as time goes by, because one of the things that we don't have in the country, really, is the ability to test everybody. So even if we felt like we were maybe okay to start doing some things again, we need the ability to test our folks to make sure they're negative so they don't bring it back in and start a new cluster. So that's really the challenge we have. Hopefully, all the manufacturers that are creating all kinds of new testing components will have a load and a number of those availability for folks all over the country. We've been watching, obviously some states have been doing this better than others, and then really that's really a condition of density and population. As we see the tragedy in New York City and the state of New York and some of those adjoining states that have the challenges. At the same time, one of the places I've been watching pretty closely is Seattle, where things kind of first started in the country. They've been able to flatten that curve out pretty well. But at the same time, they're still seeing some increases. So I think, you know, we're in this for quite a while, and hopefully we'll develop the tools as a nation to figure out how to deal with it and work our way out of it.
All right.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, one of the things I wanted to add to that is, I don't know if they have time, but one of the things they said with Dr. Norman as well as Governor Kelly was there were three clusters in churches where this also transpired even more so with the COVID patients. So I think, you know, as Easter weekend comes and as the people want to move on with their life and, you know, you just want to continue going to some of these things that we've become accustomed to as part of our life, to really, really be cautious. There are a lot more religious organizations going online and doing Facebook Live and such. I really hope people adhere to some of those as well. I know sometimes we get a false sense of security, like nobody has died in Riley County, or we only have one hospitalization or two, or whatever it might be, that we tend to think we're okay. The reason we are, you know, not going deep into this as far as our numbers is because everybody is trying very hard to follow all the regulations we have out there, and we need to be really doing that even more so. What they're realizing in China right now is that now people are coming back and getting on with their normal life, and they also see that the virus is also picking up once again. So we really need to be careful about what we're doing and how we are still distancing ourselves during this process. So I just want to be clear about the social organizations. I know there are lots of exemptions in those guidelines as far as stay-at-home guidelines, but always just, if you have to figure out if you can stay at home or not, stay at home. And that's really the best we can do right now, I think. And a lot of people are going through financial burdens as well as small businesses and unemployment claims. Everybody's doing the Facebook Live as far as the state departments, and we are trying to follow that as much as we can, and we will get information out to folks. So, yeah, we're all in this together.
You know, and you bring up some good points there. Easter's this weekend. A lot of folks would typically get together with their families this weekend for Easter. Even if you live in the same town, probably best to heed on the side of caution, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You just should not, because we tend to touch things. We don't realize how many things we touch. And as Ron was mentioning, you know, we won't, even if you have symptoms, you might be asymptomatic. Even if you're carrying it, you won't know some of these things that happen. I mean, in Indianapolis, my brother had it, and he was self-quarantined for a long time. But then my sister-in-law got it, and she ended up being hospitalized, because they thought, you know, there wasn't any more symptoms and they were good to go. So that's what I'm trying to say here. Even if you're one of those individuals who quarantined yourself for 14 days because you didn't have that many symptoms to be hospitalized, but you were still away from your family, you know, we still need to be extremely cautious, especially if you're having gatherings. That's why it's best not to have any gatherings and do as many things as virtual as possible. You don't want to be the person in the hospital. It's not good if you end up there.
We've got someone with a question here joining us on the phone. Good morning. Go ahead.
Thank you for all your efforts and all this stress that you're going through, looking out for the citizens. Wanted to support you in the taxes on the rentals or the taxes on the property. The facilities that you have, I've only used about 15 miles of your roads all the time, and I don't use your fire department, luckily, and I haven't used your ambulances. And, you know, knowing that those things are there for us, by the same token, of all the facilities that you had, I thought it might be a humanitarian effort to offer your communications facility and meeting hall to the county or the school board that are all upset about their inabilities to communicate with the rest of our citizens. And like you say, it may only go a couple of weeks and nobody will ever use it, or it might go another 18 months and you'll be able to share those facilities just like you share with all of us taxpayers. Thank you.
Appreciate that point.
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
I think they're probably referring just to the technology we have at our commission room, which we do have a handful of staff tonight that we'll be using to make that broadcast there, practicing social distancing. And so from there, we are able to put that out on several platforms, including our Cox Cable Channel 3, as well as our website through Boxcast. So all you really need is internet access and a web browser to be able to view that. And then, of course, we do put that, that also carries it on Facebook Live. Maybe aware that the Rhode County Law Board does utilize that facility as well. And so a lot of our boards have done that as well. We've tried to delay a lot of the board meetings unless they have something that's essential to be broadcast at this time, because our preference is to have face-to-face interaction if we can, but certainly we're open to those folks want a broader perspective of a way to broadcast their meetings. We're certainly open to work with them on that.
All right.
Yeah, and if there are other ways to do this, please let us know. I think we are trying, and I think we've really done well, even before we had a pandemic, to be as transparent as possible. And we want to continue that. So if there are other areas, I understand there's some areas that don't have internet, or some people that don't have access to, or don't understand how to use, let's say, Facebook and such. But we will still have the TV, and I know some areas also don't get channel 3, but if there are other ways we can do it, certainly we would be open and try to work with how to get it out to as many people as possible.
We got to take a break, so let's do that real quick. We'll come back more with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy when we return on In Focus.